You can turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4, and while you're turning there, I need to mention, this especially for any visitors that may be here today, that when folks come to church, this is not a place for the free exchange of ideas. This is a place where people come to hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's not a place, it's not a time when we discuss the Word of God. It's where we hear the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to talk on a very relevant issue this morning, and people have a couple of choices. They can sit and listen, or they can leave. But they cannot disrupt. To disrupt, then you're trespassing, and you'd be asked to leave. Now, this is very important, because I'm dealing on what should not be and would not be in a moral country a controversial issue. Didn't used to be a controversial issue in any church in America at one time. But it's very controversial today. We had a great week, Madison Baptist Church. As a country, we had a disastrous week. You've turned to 1 Samuel chapter 4. This is the time when Israel had a disastrous week. It says in verse 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek." Now, the message that had came through Samuel was a message of judgment upon a nation, and especially the household of Eli the high priest, because of the sins of the people, specifically the sins of Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of the high priest. It says, "And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of the great shout of the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us, for there had not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.' And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." Word gets back to Eli that Israel has been beaten. He's also told that his two boys are dead. And then he is given the devastating news that the ark of God has been taken. And we pick up the story in verse 18. "And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he, being Eli, fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, 'Fear not, for thou hast born a son.' But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We can only surmise with events that have taken place this week that we have probably gone past the point of no return, and Ichabod is truly upon us today. The glory hath departed. Of course, we recognize, Lord, today that it didn't depart with any rulings this week. The glory of God has departed for some time. God, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. I pray you would control my mind and my thoughts, that I say as you would have me to say. That, Father, you be in control, deal with hearts. Call your people back to you in repentance, I pray. And I pray that sinners would be called to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Have your way in every life, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you would probably know, this week on Wednesday, the Supreme Court of the United States, now, five members of the Supreme Court of the United States, in a 5-4 ruling, struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. The Defense of Marriage Act was a federal act that was passed in the 1990s, signed into law by then President Clinton, which simply stated what has been believed in this country, yea, in many countries throughout history, that marriage is simply between a man and a woman. Five people believed that because they wore black robes and were appointed to their position of power, that somehow they were given God-given rights to change the definition of an institution that was created by God Himself. Now, with regards to the country, one of the dissenting justices, Justice Scalia, basically said this about the Defense of Marriage Act. He said that it did no more than codify an aspect of marriage that had been unquestioned in our society for most of its existence. Indeed, had been unquestioned in virtually all societies for virtually all of human history. And then for our own America, the rule of law has been the Constitution of the United States. We live in a day where it has been totally put in the closet, and we are run at the dictates of five people. People who obviously are reprobate in their thinking, who have on purpose done all that they could in the last few years to destroy the very basis of law in America. You're not going to find what they had to say the other day had any basis. Their ruling had no basis, not even in the Word of God, but not in the Constitution of the United States either. The danger has become, as Scalia said, that the court has set itself up as, and I quote, "the assertion of judicial supremacy over the people's representatives in Congress and the executive." He went on to say, "It envisions a Supreme Court standing, or rather enthroned, at the apex of government, empowered to decide all constitutional questions always and everywhere, primary in its role. This image of the court would have been unrecognizable to those who wrote and ratified our national charter." In other words, in the new Sod America, spelled S-O-D-O-M, America, the Constitution is no longer the rule of law. The rule of law is the majority of Supreme Court justices. Now, as an American for just a moment, that literally spells the destruction of the republic. Of course, you understand America never has been a democracy. America has been a republic, where we are served by representatives who supposedly represent us when they go and vote. It is no longer ruled by the people. It's a sad day that the United States of America has died, replaced by the rule of five people in black robes whose authority is to be unquestioned. It's final. Sod America. Let me say, though, that there is a greater destruction. And this is not something that began with the court case that was ruled on. Let's face it, when we heard that the Supreme Court was going to take up this law, considering the makeup of the Supreme Court right now, when we heard that, we already knew how they were going to rule. It was plain. In 1963, the Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional to publicly read the Bible and quote Bible verses in school. In that case, it attacked God's word. 10 years later, the Supreme Court met again and declared the murder of the unborn to be a constitutional right. I've read the Constitution. I've read it all the way through, from the preamble all the way through all the amendments. And there is nowhere in there where it gives any right for mothers to murder their babies simply because their location is still in their womb. That is not a blob of flesh. That is a child. Now, what they have called legally right, they have attacked the sanctity of life, and life is given by God Himself. And now in 2013, this same Supreme Court, different judges, of course, has publicly put the United States against an institution created by the God of heaven. God gave His word. They attacked it, kicked it out of the public schools. By the way, when bad things happen in public schools, don't blame God. Don't say, where was God? We live in a nation that kicked God out of the public schools. So don't cry that He's not there. We live in a nation that didn't want Him there. And then for the last 40 years, we've murdered almost 60 million babies. By the way, the majority of those babies that have been murdered legally in the United States have been from minority groups. It's amazing how many minorities think that the Supreme Court has stood up for them. They've aided in the murder of them. And now, of course, they want to redefine marriage, God's institution for mankind. That is a mockery of all that God calls holy. And as I said again, their attack is on the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, He says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. Now, by the way, we have already accepted in this nation immorality, fornication, adultery, and it's considered the norm, and we expect it among our young people. We have people in Congress. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I don't care what their party is. But when they're giving out contraceptives now to children at the age of 12 and above, it's because they're saying, we're expecting our kids to live like the animals that we have said that they are. We have said that they're just part of the evolutionary process. They're like the dogs and the apes. They're like the barnyard animals. And we're just trying to protect them from overpopulating. The wickedness that is condoned by those that are in power, this nation cannot go without the judgment of God. Justice Scalia declared that the actions of the court went well beyond merely rejecting a federal definition of marriage. Here's what he said, and boy, he nailed it here. By formally declaring anyone opposed to same-sex marriage as an enemy of human decency. Guilty. I oppose same-sex marriage. Matter of fact, it's a mockery just in its own term. If I was to bring a dog in here and ask you how many legs it have, if we call the tail a leg, there are people here who'd say, well, then it has five legs. No, you'd be wrong. Still only has four, because calling that tail a leg does not make it a leg. They have changed their definition, setting themselves up as God, of which they are not. And does the term Ichabod come to mind? What has happened in America? We have gone nuts. Our land is unrecognizable. Now, wait a second. 2 days after that horrendous ruling, the White House came out and said under their national health care law, Christian organizations will have to pay for contraceptives for everyone. Christian, you say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. It is a direct attack on the Church of Jesus Christ and Christianity and holiness. I am not paying for somebody to go out and commit fornication and then protect them from getting the fruits of their evil and wickedness. And when you understand that among that contraception, you're talking about the morning after pill. That is an abortion pill. It murders what was created in the womb. It's an abortion pill. It makes a person as guilty of murder as the person that would go in and take the life of somebody in the nursery in the hospital. This is an attack on the church. It promotes fornication among its single employees, which again is a violation of everything we stand against. It is an attack on Christianity. Literally, folks, I know this sounds serious, but and it's going to get worse. You think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Our government has declared war on Christian America. It is now Sod America versus Christian America. For just a moment, turn over to Leviticus chapter 18. There's a few verses I want you to notice, and then we'll get to the message. Leviticus chapter 18. God is telling Israel about the abominations that were created, that were done in the land of Canaan, why God was going to destroy those people out of it, and warning Israel not to partake in the same abominations. I will pick it up in verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 18. Now, don't just read verse 22. Let's read the verses after as well. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Underline it. It is abomination. Now, for those of you that have already crossed Deuteronomy 22:5 out of your Bible, cross this out too. I mean, if you're already going to cut your Bible up, cut this verse out. The Sodomites have. And a lot of churches have, by the way. But we're not done. We'll go on. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which are before you. And now notice, and the land is defiled. May I say to you, America is defiled today. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs, which are committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord. I love the way he puts it in verse 30. Notice what he says, any of these abominable customs. For those of you who are explaining your disobedience to the word of God because it's our culture, well, so is the murder of the unborn. Culture never makes sin right. We don't judge our Bible by the culture. Do you know Piers Morgan on CNN said what they need to do is amend the Bible? By the way, he's simply spewing the garbage and the dribble that's being spewed by millions today, even in churches. It's why they keep trying to rewrite it. Now, you might ask the question, how could this happen? How could we find ourselves living in Sod America instead of America? I believe the answer for us is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Notice the words of Christ. I've referred to this a few times in verse 13 in the last few weeks. Not unfamiliar. Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, ye are the salt of the earth. And then he says, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it, the earth, the land, be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, the salt, but to be cast out. Now underline the rest of this. To be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Never in the history of this nation would we have had an administration tell Christians, you've got to support that which you find evil. You've got to do it. You've got to pay it. And they do it with impunity. How in the world can they do that? Because the salt has become good for nothing. When the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth, look at the words, good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. We've come a long way from the Supreme Court's declaration in 1892. That the United States was a Christian nation. We've gone to an all-out assault against any public display or declaration of the Judeo-Christian ethic. God forbid that there should be a Bible verse or a display on public grounds of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The ACU will get active and they will sue and they will win. But my Bible declares in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. That still holds true. God still says sins defile the land. As abominations defile the land and bring the judgments of God. It happened in Israel's day. Now these were God's people. This was the only nation on the planet, Israel, that worshiped the Lord God of heaven. There wasn't another one. And yet God said to his people in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, how shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods when I had fed them to the full. They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? He gets down to verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Again in chapter 9 and verse 9. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? The salt has lost its savor. We can say, well, preacher, what can we do? Well, you can't wait till the next election, because I got news for you. It won't be a bit better. One of the problems Christians have had for the last 20 years is they've counted on the ballot box to salvage the nation because they're too stingy stinking lazy in their sin to get right with God. And they want a representative to do to a nation what they won't do with their own lives. So what do? I'm going to give you five things and we'll be done. Number one, repent. The first place, guys, you should have cried this week. You should have wept this week. You should have cried out to God this week for what's taking place in our nation. Bible says this, you know the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name. So we're not talking about the Larry Flint crowd. We're not talking about the Hugh Hefner crowd. We're not talking about the Alec Baldwin crowd. We're talking about those who are saved people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now get this, turn from their wicked ways. Wait a second. Turn to the verse. I quoted it right, but I want you to turn to the verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now I know the primary use of this verse was given to Solomon to give to Israel for when they went off to sin. This was how to get their land back. But it is a Bible principle that would still work today here in the United States. Look at it again. If my people, is that you? Now, see, if that's not you, if you're not one of his people, don't worry about this verse. Don't worry about what I'm going to say next. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, underline this next part. And turn from their wicked ways. Whose wicked ways? Their wicked ways. Now, you've heard me say this 100 times at least. How are God's people going to turn from their wicked ways if they refuse to call their ways wicked? And many won't call their ways wicked because they have gotten so soaked and saturated in sin thanks to the internet and the TV. They've gotten so soaked into it that they don't even see their ways as wicked anymore. But you see, until we see our ways as wicked, and we turn from our wicked ways. Now here's a great promise. It's a great promise. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But you can pray from now till the cows come home. If you don't change your wicked ways, it doesn't do us a bit of good. If I don't change my wicked ways, it doesn't do us a bit of good. It's the same for every one of us. Repent. That's the first step. If you don't take the first step, none of the others are going to help you. Second step, return to the Word of God. The words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You say, what's that? Well, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. He said all Scripture, not just the New Testament, all Scripture. Man, there's no contradictions in this book. It all fits together. It's all right. It expresses the will of God for His creation, mankind. Here it is. So He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. The psalmist said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now that sounds like a great verse to a lot of people, and it works for them on all the things that they think are right. Then they agree with God. But when they disagree with God, they're going to do their own thing. That's people that need to get right with God. Back to Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We were just there a minute ago. After he talked about the salt of the earth being good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Notice he says in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now notice, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, what's the them referring to? The least commandments. The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Evidently, those little things are important to God. I have news for you. Adam and Eve did not commit adultery. That's not what brought all mankind down into sin. Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the fruit. They didn't chop it down. As far as we know, they ate one fruit off that tree. One bite was sufficient. That disobedience brought death to everybody. Everybody dies because of that one act. If you think those little things don't matter in the Word of God, you need to reread your Bible. Man, this is plain. We're in a mess today. The world has no idea what sin is because people in the church have no idea what sin is. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, one of the last books written in the Bible, given to us 60 years after Jesus died on the cross. He said in 1 John 3, 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Definition verse, for sin is the transgression of the law. God hadn't changed his mind. We have to repent of our wicked ways. Don't look across the aisle. Let the Holy Spirit look right in here. Let him look in here in your life. Is there any place your life is not measuring up to the Word of God? That's what you need to turn from. That's what you need to get right about. Anything in here in my life, I need to turn from. I need to get right with God. I need to make much of the Word of God. And then we need to reprove the works of unrighteousness. Turn to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. Let's quit playing church. We've got too many sermonettes listened to by a bunch of Christianettes who leave church and go out and smoke their cigarettes. Notice what he says in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 5, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That ought to be the most important thing in our heart. What's acceptable to the Lord? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. Man, we don't just speak about them. We pipe them into our living room. We go to the websites. We turn on the TV programs that promote it. And think somehow we're not as bad simply because we don't actually participate in it. That doesn't fly with God. He said we are to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, take a stand. For crying out loud, take a stand. It shouldn't be just the very few preachers will take a stand on this. You know why? They're afraid about who's going to be marching out in front of the church next Sunday. Bunch of cowards standing in the pulpit when they're to be men of God. Say, but it'll cost me. Then bless God, take the cost. Cry aloud and spare not is what the Word of God proclaims. That's the next point. Stand. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. You know, it's funny. We are a nation that in the past has been known for men being men. It's one of the reasons I believe that our military has been used to keep a lot of countries free. Of course, now we've got a Homeland Security Department that declares anybody who served and is a Christian a terrorist. You're the one there. They're not watching for the Muslims that kill people. They're watching for you people who served your country. You're the ones they're worried about. That ought to be an affront to everybody here. All right, you fought for us. That's fine. Now keep quiet. Let us do what we're doing. And the Bible says we're to stand. quit you like men. Be strong. One more thing. We need to win others while we can. The time's coming. Now, I believe that the politicians will allow churches in America in the future as long as you do your own little thing in church. But we're not called to just meet in church. We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They don't like that. So there's going to be a time when if you obey God by spreading the gospel, you're going to jail. It's not the way it is today. It's coming. You say, that would never happen. Right now in the military, they've been instructed they are not to share Jesus with the people that they work with in the military. And they can be drummed out of the American military for simply sharing Christ. That's inside America. So we better win others while we can. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 9 that the night cometh when no man can work. So we better work while we can. We better get busy. You say, well, I don't know how to witness. We got tracts. Pick up a bunch of tracts, pass them out. The gospel's in each of them. Right there. You say, well, they don't understand it. Then read it to them. Read the whole thing to them. If you know Jesus, you ought to be able to answer some of the questions. The verses are all numbered right there. But we've got lost people all around us who only know what they've been told by ungodly Hollywood. They need to know the Word of God that they will die and burn in hell if they don't turn to the Son of God who died on the cross to pay their sin debt and was buried and rose 3 days later from the dead. Dear friend, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you don't get born again, don't care who you are, you'll die and go to hell. He said, preacher, you're against sodomites. No, I want to see him get saved. Because the Bible declares they're going to die and go to hell. The Bible declares the same thing about adulterers. The Bible declares the same thing about fornicators. And see, those aren't homosexuals. Man, you get quiet on me. What is this? Now, wait a minute. Says the same thing about drunkards. Says the same thing about thieves. The Bible's serious. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor all those others that are mentioned there. Drunkards, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's a sodomite. Listen, our job is to share the gospel with them. Well, I don't think they can be saved. Even if they can, I'm still supposed to share the gospel with them. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But they'll hate us. They already hate you. Good night. You sound like George Bush now. Well, I take a stand, but I'm trying to make friends with these people. No, man, our job's to win them. Well, did I say what I just said? I did, didn't I? You got to understand, enemies of the cross, people who already don't like what the Bible says, don't like where we stand. I'm not trying to win them to me. I'm trying to win them to Jesus. I don't want them to go to hell. I thank God that even though for the first 21 years of my life, I not only wanted nothing to do with God, I told religious jokes that still shame me when one of those pop into my mind. I wish I could forget all that nonsense, all that wickedness. He still loved me and went to the cross and died for me. And when I called on him, he saved me. And I don't care what their sin is. They turn to Jesus, he'll save them. So we better get busy. If you think we've got time to keep playing around, the truth is, you're a major part of the problem. Until we recognize our own sin, we're not even part of the solution. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, this hurts me to preach a message like this. But whether or not it hurts me is not important. I believe I gave people truth. Lord God, we're in a mess and we got ourselves there. We have compromised, and every issue that we've compromised on, we've called it a little thing. We've used idiotic excuses, like I don't want to be a legalist. Idiotic excuses, like I'm not convicted about it yet, to make our sin seem as though it's just simply a matter of personal choice and not a matter of right and wrong. God, may we repent, make much of the Word of God, reprove unrighteousness, stand like men, and work before the night cometh when no man can work. Deal with our hearts today. Give us hearts of repentance for our own sin. I beg it in Jesus' name.